Welcome to Legends of the Hall, the podcast centered around the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame in Colorado Springs, telling the stories of the greatest stars in the history of pro rodeo. On today's show, we talk to a pro football superstar, Carl Mecklenburg, a defensive standout for more than a decade with the Denver Broncos. He'll be appearing at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame Spring Sports Fundraiser May the 16th, and he'll tell us what he's going to talk about, and we'll get the inside scoop coming up. This is professional rodeo announcer Steve Kenyon. Legends of the Hall is being sponsored by Wrangler, the official Western wear of pro rodeo. Long live Cowboys. In just a moment, Carl Mecklenburg.
Hey, y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And if I'm going to enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler, long live Cowboys.
Today's show is being sponsored by the Gooding Pro Rodeo in Gooding, Idaho, August 14th through 17th, 2024, goodingprorodeo.com. On today's program, we highlight the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame Spring Sports Fundraiser, an evening with Carl Mecklenburg. He played more than a decade in the Denver Broncos. Defensive side of the football, was an All-Pro six times and a Pro Bowl selection. Now he is a public speaker and a very good one. We had a chance to talk to Carl Mecklenburg about what he will be discussing with fans who attend the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame Spring Sports Fundraiser on May the 16th. Details, tickets, and more at ProRodeoHallOfFame.com. Here's Carl Mecklenburg. I have a special honor on the Legends of the Hall podcast with a gentleman who I enjoyed watching play football for a lot of years. He is going to be the featured speaker at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame's 2024 Spring Sports Fundraiser on May the 16th in Colorado Springs. Carl Mecklenburg, Denver Bronco Ring of Honor member, what, six-time Pro Bowler, five-time All-Pro. Carl, thank you for your time and welcome.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. This is going to be fun. I really love the thing I miss most from football is the adrenaline. And when I get up in front of a group and speak, that adrenaline comes back. So that's why I still do this.
You don't play anymore, obviously. What are you? What do you do? And then I want to talk to you a little bit about what you're going to be talking about on May the 16th.
Yeah, this is what I do. I'm a professional speaker. I do about 40 events a year and have for 25 years. Love the interaction with the audience and storytelling. Everything will be pointed back at the audience and it'll be fun.
So tell me about this interaction. This is something that the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame started last year. Goose Gossage, I think, was the speaker a year ago. The interaction between the more, I guess, mainstream, for lack of a better term, sports, football, basketball, baseball, and professional rodeo. It gives you an opportunity to maybe reach a kind of a unique audience for you, I would think, Carl.
Yeah, for sure. The things I talk about are people things. Teamwork, courage, dedication, desire, honesty and forgiveness, goal setting, universal, unchanging keys to success that allow you to be successful regardless of whether you're in business, in rodeo, in football, in podcasts, whatever you're doing. It's just people stuff.
You know, those things, it's interesting because you mentioned some things there, forgiveness and honesty and goal setting. I will tell you that the most successful rodeo athletes that I've interviewed in my life, and I've had the pleasure of talking to all of them over the last several years, one of the things they consistently talk about is, okay, I wrote down my goals. I want to do this, that, and the other thing. This is what I want to accomplish. Those things are universal throughout all of sports?
Yeah, no question. And truthfully, again, beyond sports, that's what gets me 40 events a year for the last 25 years. I'm talking to businesses. I'm talking to associations. I'm talking to groups of people anywhere around the country and truthfully around the world. And those factors allow you to move past, I call it an all-pro mentality. Prepare thoroughly, perform decisively, evaluate honestly, and adjust accordingly. And move forward that way. I think a lot of people will run into problems with that honesty and forgiveness piece, where they have a hard time facing the fact that they didn't do what they expected to do, and then they get stuck there. So that'll be something which we'll talk about.
Listening to those four tenets that you just presented, where do people have the most trouble, Carl? Is it with the evaluate honestly piece of that? Where do people run into the biggest roadblocks with those four things? Seem like the simplest way in the world to be successful in life to me.
That's often the problem. In the NFL, you have no choice. There's film study. You spend more time in a meeting room than you actually do on a football field, and you're watching film of yourself and watching film of your teammates, and the coach is telling you exactly what's right and exactly what's wrong. And there's no dodging it. There's an old saying in the NFL, the eye in the sky don't lie. everything's on film, and that's what you see. So you have to accept that, set some goals, figure out a way to get better in that area. And you know what, next game, something else is going to be wrong. And you'll have to set some goals around that, be honest about it, and move forward. So that's a day-to-day activity in the NFL. And anybody who can't handle that doesn't last very long, for sure.
I was doing some Googling, Carl, getting ready for this, and I found a story about you on ProFootballHistory.com. And it reads like this: legendary Denver Broncos linebacker Carl Mecklenburg was one of the best feel-good stories of the early 1980s. Mecklenburg, who was in the same 1983 draft class as quarterback John Elway, arrived in Denver with little fanfare. You were a 12th round draft pick at the time. The draft doesn't even go 12 rounds now, does it?
Right. Yeah. I was the 310th guy picked.
Wow.
They're making a big deal about the quarterback from San Francisco. He's the 262nd guy picked. Right. So but he was Mr. Irrelevant now. I was 20 guys away from Mr. Irrelevant in our draft. So I didn't even get a parade or a car or any of that.
But you turned it into a career. You had four sacks in one game. That almost never happens. I think the number I remember, I'm doing this from memory, was 79 career sacks. That's huge.
Well, I was put in a situation where I was able to be successful. I played on a team with John Elway and some great linemen, some great defensive backs. Any time you're successful in the NFL, it's because the team around you is successful too.
Yeah.
You just can't do it on your own. It's a little bit different from rodeo. I mean, it's more like team roping, right? It's more like something where you rely on the other. And if there's not good coverage, it doesn't matter what kind of pass rusher I am. The quarterback will get rid of the ball. If there's not a pass rush, I don't care what kind of coverage guy you are. Somebody's going to get open.
Yeah.
So it's the ultimate team sport, and it's a mental sport. You know, if you you look at what you do in riding bulls and rodeo, you know, you got the 5 seconds. The average game in the NFL of actual action, if you throw out all the other stuff and it's just the action, it's 10 minutes of action in a 3-hour period.
Wow.
And I only play defense, so that's 5 minutes of action. So I have 5 minutes of full on action now. It is like riding a bull or something, but the rest of it is all adjustment and counter adjustment and movement and substitution and mental.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about that, you draw the comparison between the NFL and rodeo, and there are some very successful rodeo cowboys there are a lot of rodeo athletes who, interestingly enough, were wrestlers when they were in high school, which is kind of an individualized sport. But we've got guys who they're one of the best team ropers in the country, could have just as easily been a college quarterback, one of the best bulldoggers in the country, played quarterback at North Carolina, was a backup, you know, there. I mean, we've got guys that have come from team sports, and every once in a while I'll ask them, what did you take from it? And they all say, the concept of discipline and accountability to the people around you. Maybe in their case, it's not their team roper or their teammates. maybe in their case, it's to their family and the people that are relying on them to perform well in the arena and make a living. But that's kind of what I hear from the guys who come to rodeo. And, you know, all of us grew up playing football or basketball or baseball or something. That's a unique thing about rodeos. All of us didn't grow up riding a bucking horse, a rope, and a steer. So, I mean, there's the interesting comparison there as I watch guys come from the more traditional sports into our rodeo industry.
Well, Walt Garrison was the prime example of somebody who was a great football player and a great rodeo guy.
Yeah, I just had a talk. He used to sneak away from the Cowboys during the off-season practices, things like that. And Tom Landry took him aside one time and said, okay, fine, you want a rodeo, you rodeo, but if you get hurt, we're not paying you. So
there you go.
Tell me about life, a day in the life of a National Football League player. During the season, what's it like?
You know, it's dark to dark. It's you go in, you get treatment because something's always hurting. then you got meetings. Then depending on the situation and the coaching staff, you either practice, and practice is 2.5 hours generally, and then you're in meetings until you go home at 6 at night, 7 at night. And it's, you know, I loved the life. Have real designated time slots. Everything's laid out ahead of time. You know what to expect. You prepare for an opponent, and every opponent's different. We had 120 different defenses, each with game to game adjustments based on the opponent. So it was really a lot of studying, mental work, and when you aren't on the field practicing these things, you've got to mentally practice them. And I think that's where a lot of people who grew up playing football or basketball or hockey or any of those team sports, they can relate to the practice on field. But the off field stuff, even beyond college football, is much, much more intense and differentiating between being successful and not being successful. Everybody in the NFL is a great athlete. That's not who wins. It's the team that's prepared properly and can make adjustments during the game.
Carl, I played football in high school, and to be honest, I was never smart enough to remember the entire playbook then. And I got to believe that, and you were a defensive player, so I'm not sure how much difference there is defensively and offensively in the National Football League. This is probably Steve's dumb question of the interview, just so you know.
Okay.
But to me, you guys have got so much you have to learn and understand in the way schemes are designed. And am I right in saying to just learning the plays as a defensive player, learning your keys, your reads, who you're going to watch, there's an awful lot just of, I don't know, what is it, book learning? Is it what?
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with this? I had to learn 25, 30 plays in high school. You got to learn a whole lot more than that now.
Yeah, no question. And that's what differentiates. I mean, you look at the draft. Every year there's first rounders who wash out and second, third, whatever, because they're great athletes.
Right.
And they're good in a situation where you're playing college football. You have your stuff. That's what you play. And regardless of who you're playing against, you just hope it matches up. Once you get to the NFL, it doesn't matter how big or fast or strong you are. If you don't know what you're doing, they got no use for you.
Yeah,
and it really is a mental game, and you have to be decisive. You have to be able to take that book learning and say, okay, the hay's in the barn, it's all set, and now I go. Now it's time to go, and making that transition from thinking about it to actually doing it is a real challenge. Now you have to realize I played all 7 front positions. They moved me around, so I was playing defensive end, defensive tackle, nose guard, inside linebacker, out. So I played sometimes in one game.
I'll be darned.
So as an inside linebacker, you got to know what the other guys do. But I not only had to know what the other guys did, I had to do it.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother step.
I'll be darned. Carl Mecklenburg is joining us. Carl will be speaking for the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and the Spring Sports Fundraiser. That's on May 16th in Colorado Springs, an evening with Carl Mecklenburg. You know, one of the things that the Hall has got is really fortunate about, Carl, being in the Denver, Colorado Springs area. Denver seems to me like it must be one of the great sports cities in the country. If you're a fan of with the Rockies, with the Nuggets, with the Broncos, with the Colorado Avalanche, there's got to be an unlimited supply of people for Kent Sturman to call on in that area to appear at events like this.
Yeah, you know, it is a great sports town. I was so fortunate to get drafted here and spend all 12 of my NFL career years here. Just fortunate. I mean, I grew up a Viking fan. I got over it when they passed on me 12 times in the draft. So now it's all about the Broncos for me. What a great opportunity. I think a lot of athletes really don't understand that their resume when they get done with athletics is the goodwill they've developed in the community they played in. All this movement that's going on in the NFL and in other sports, I think kind of takes that away in many ways.
One of the questions I was going to ask you was, how rare is it? I don't remember how rare it was in the 1980s and the 1990s when you played, but it's unusual. It was unusual then. It is really unusual now for somebody to spend their entire career with one team. Jason Kelce just retired from the Philadelphia Eagles. He was there for the entire time in Philadelphia, and I think he will be a legend forever. But it's pretty rare for somebody to do what you did.
Yeah, it is. You know what it means when you spend 12 years on one team? It means you were underpaid. That's what it means. Yeah, so, no, you know, truthfully, there are ways to make yourself irreplaceable. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They go in with their job description and think this is it. Mm-hmm. But I was a team captain. I was the player rep for the union. I was in charge of the Bible study for the team for a number of years. I was involved in any way I could be involved. You got a project going, sign me up. I'm part of it. And if the ownership can't picture the team without you as part of it, that's what you want as an employee anywhere. Yeah. So for me, that was I think what made me irreplaceable is that way of looking at my job. And I mean, it wasn't my idea to play all seven positions. I mean, the coaches came to me and said, you want to try this? I said, yeah, sure. Let's try that. Yeah. And then on and on and on. It was a great opportunity, but it wasn't my idea. It was that I was open to other responsibilities and other opportunities within the organization.
Of course, you played in the Elway era, and he's always going to be one of the premier quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. My impression, thinking back on my memories of, you know, being a football fan my whole life, is that when that group of players that you were a part of left the Denver Broncos over time, you left that franchise far better than it was when you got there. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think you are. And part of that is 1983 draft. We had 14 rookies make it that year. That was Edgar Kaiser's last year as the owner of the team. He was trying to sell the team, and rookies are cheaper than veterans. So he was knocking down the salary level so he could sell the team. And we had this influx of young, excited talent. And then we had the Orange Crush guys that were still there, Barney Chavis, Reuben Carter, Randy Gratishar, Tom Jackson, that crew. And they really accepted us and took us under their wings and taught us how to be professionals and really taught us how to be men. And it was a pretty cool situation.
I had forgotten some of those names. Tom Jackson, who was on TV for a long time, Randy Gratishar. He was fun to watch for a long time. What'd you learn from those guys?
You know, like I said, the team concept, the ability to be honest and forgiving with yourself. Say, yeah, that's right. We got to fix that. And go into the next week with a reasonable short-term specific goal of hand placement or a vision or whatever that is to get yourself past that issue. And next week there'll be another issue and you're going to have to work on that. You know, if you grade out and they grade out every play and every game. And if you grade out 90%, you're an all pro level player. So 10% of the time you're wrong and the coach is screaming at you and you know you're wrong and you got to fix it. And that's just part of the life. And those guys took that to another level. Yeah. Unbelievable players and great human beings.
You were telling me before we started this that this opportunity to come hear you speak on May the 16th is a little bit unusual. Most of your speaking engagements are, you know, private. This is going to be a chance to for people who are in that area on that night to do something that is not maybe normal for you. Is that correct? To be in a more public setting like that?
It really is. Generally, I'm speaking at association meetings or corporate meetings that are for that group. To be able to buy a ticket and come see me speak, I don't know. I can't remember the last time that happened. So it is an opportunity for people to who have been interested. And I have a lot of people who follow me on social media and are always saying, "Oh, when can we come see you speak?" Well, you can come see me speak here. Here's an opportunity for
you. There you go. Are you a rodeo fan, or can we make you a rodeo fan over time, Carl?
I am a rodeo fan. I went to Cheyenne Frontier Days this last year.
Oh, you picked a good one.
Yeah, no, I, it's an amazing sport. And you know what, that just competition excites me. Yeah. And competition at the highest levels, you know, it's fun to watch kids play, but when you have the best of the best, facing off against each other or facing off against an animal or facing laying it on the line, that excites me.
Yeah. One thing that I think is different about rodeo from, I don't know, you know, you get into a rodeo arena and the guys are always talking about how they're competing more with the animal that they have drawn than they are against each other. And you watch a bunch of bulldoggers in the background or a bunch of bronc riders who are all there. I mean, they're standing there actually helping the guys they're competing with. That is the unique thing to me in the rodeo business that I don't know exists in any other sport. The way that, you know, because the competition is with the four-legged competitor, not so much with the other. You're trying to beat the other guys, obviously, but at the same time, they're always helping each other. It's a unique aspect of professional rodeo.
Yeah, that is. I certainly wasn't helping the Raiders.
Yeah, I'd imagine not.
Oh, your Seahawks.
or my Seahawks, yeah. I know you tweeted about this when the Russell Wilson thing came to an end. Why did the Russell Wilson experiment not work out in Denver?
Why didn't it work out? Why? A lot of reasons. Yeah. First of all, Russell's getting it to the end of his career physically. And then the other piece of it is he really didn't fit the coaching style of the coach now. He was brought in for a different coach. That didn't work out. And Sean Payton is all about the X's and O's and the intricacies of his offense. He doesn't want somebody just scrambling around making plays. He wants somebody who does exactly what's written in the book. Yeah. And that just was not Russell, and it never has been Russell.
As a lifelong Seahawks fan, he's one I really wish would have stayed in one place, done what you did, played for the same team his entire – but business is business, and those are decisions that are made, and I just was curious as to your perspective on it. Carl Mecklenburg will be speaking at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame on May the 16th. It is going to be a fun evening. We were able to give you a little taste of it here, the 2024 Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame Spring Sports Fundraiser, an evening with Carl Mecklenburg. Carl, I appreciate your time so much. I kept you for a lot longer than I asked you for, and this has been fun, and I really mean that. I've been a National Football League fan my whole life, and to get to interact with somebody who has accomplished everything you accomplished. When you came in as the, whatever you said, 320th draft pick that year and found yourself playing for the same team at a high level for 12 years and All-Pro and Pro Bowls and Broncos Ring of Honor. Did you expect all that when you showed up in Denver in 1983?
Steve, my first week with the team, I got a hole in one of my socks. So I went to the equipment manager and asked him for another pair of socks. And he said, "What's the matter with the other sock?" He only gave me one sock. So that's where I was when I came.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's the glamour of the NFL, folks, the folks you don't see behind the scenes. Carl, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Enjoy the heck out of it at the Hall of Fame May the 16th. That's one of my favorite places in the world, and I think you're really going to enjoy the opportunity to be there and spend some time with those folks that night.
Thanks for your time today, Steve. Appreciate it.
I'm a big football fan, and that was a lot of fun. Carl Mecklenburg, who had a great career with the Denver Broncos of the National Football League. You can get tickets and find out more about an evening with Carl Mecklenburg May the 16th at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. Go to ProRodeoHallOfFame.com. This week on the Steve Kenyon Podcast, we'll highlight rodeos in Redmond, Oregon, and San Angelo, Texas, two of the biggest of the year that are both happening during the course of the next few days. We hope you will join us. Please like and subscribe to the Legends of the Hall podcast, the Steve Kenyon podcast, and to our Facebook page and our social media sites. Thanks to Wrangler. They brought you the Legends of the Hall show. God bless you, everybody. I'm Steve Kenyon.